Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 10. It's a long chapter there. There's a lot in there. We're going to focus on just a few verses from verse 13. So Mark 10 and from verse 13, we'll just read these four verses again. It says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." And the title of my sermon this morning is Sunday School versus Family Integrated. Sunday School versus Family Integrated. And if you're thinking, what is he talking about here? If you're not aware of these sort of terms, well, basically, if you go into most churches in this nation, you're going to see one of a few options when it comes to the children and how the children are provided for in the church. In many, there'll be a Sunday school type area where you're to drop your kids for part or all of the church service. You know, there are many different types of Sunday schools. They'll have differing ages with some, depending on how busy the church is often. So you might have sort of a creche and then a sort of younger age and then a sort of medium. Sometimes they'll have a sort of teen group and stuff like that as well. They'll have all these different types of what basically are Sunday schools. Now, in some churches, they'll have a Sunday school, yet it will be either before or after the morning service. So they'll have a separate Sunday school to the service, and often that'll be for adults as well. So I remember at first being a bit confused by this. It would say Sunday school, but it was for everyone in the church, and they'd have different Sunday school groups for different ages. And then for others, it will be a family integrated church service. And a family integrated church service is where the children are part of the church service. And then with many, they'll then have optional rooms for them to use if needed. I've not preached a full sermon on this topic. If you've noticed, I've chosen instead to probably preach mini sermonettes when I do the announcements every now and again, when it kind of winds me up thinking about people that are probably sitting there, can't believe that we have kids in a church service or something. And that was actually someone brought this up, I think last week, to one of our ushers or something, about the kids in the church service. So I thought, well, it's probably about time that I preach a sermon on this and show you what we believe, why we believe it, what our stance is on this. And look, we're a family integrated model here at this church, and it's not because it's what our favorite pastors do. Okay, it's great that our favorite pastors also believe in the family integrated model, but look, we follow the family integrated church model because we wholeheartedly believe that as well. And it, you know, when we're an independent church in the future, we always will be a family integrated independent church, so you understand that. Okay, it's not going to suddenly change. All right, now it's time to start getting out the Sunday school and everything else. So today we're going to look at the three common formats, and regardless of our own opinions, which sometimes might be valid to some degree, we're going to see how biblical they are, because that's got to be the important thing, isn't it? How biblical are the different church models in terms of Sunday school during, Sunday school after, and the family integrated model? Because that's got to be the most important thing, isn't it? Okay, what does the Bible say about this topic? Well, the title is Sunday School versus Family Integrated, and option number one is Sunday school during the church services. So this, I would say, is probably the most common around sort of claiming to at least be Bible believing churches around. Okay, so look, obviously there's all sorts of bizarre cults and weird religions around, but what do churches which claim to follow and believe the Bible do? The vast majority of them will have a Sunday school option for during the church service. Maybe it'll be part of the church service and they'll kind of bring the kids out for the final bit, the final hymn or something like that. A lot of the time it'll be for the full church service as well. Now this is, and sometimes it'll be for after the first couple of bits and hymns, and then when it's right now, it's time for the preaching. Let's get those kids out of there and they can do something else, right? Now this is common, and I've been at churches where you arrive and you've got someone telling you, right, you need to take the kids over there. You need to put the kids in that bit. How old's your kid? Right, they go over there. Often they're borderline wrestling them off you as well. Some of you might have been at churches like that where it's a bit of a struggle to keep your child on you. Sometimes people are literally coming to those churches to drop the kids off. Okay, so sometimes they ain't even staying in the church service. They're coming, putting their kids in there, and then they're going home. What are the supposed pros of this model? So what's the supposed pros of this way of doing things in a church? Well, one will be that little Johnny often has a lot of fun.
okay? It's great fun. The kids want to get there because it's all sorts of enjoyment. You know, they get to do all sorts of exciting stuff instead of, you know, sitting there and you know, doing the boring things that the adults do, for example. Some would claim that the kids get more suitable content, so it's more child-friendly. You know, they understand more. It's you. The terminology will be easier for them. You know, it's not too much on maybe preaching or Bible. There's a lot more on colouring in and games and things like that. There's a side point with that as well, is that the kids, you know, if you've ever had kids in these sorts of things, the ones with some Bible knowledge usually get to feel really good about themselves as well, because they're like, wow, you know, I know all these questions, or I know some of them and stuff like that. So that's a pro for maybe some of the children. There are less distractions during the service. So a lot of these people, for them, the big part of it is, we don't want kids in the church service because they're going to ruin the church service, okay? We can't all pay attention. The parents can't pay attention to the preaching because of the children, so let's get them into Sunday school. And then there's another pro for many, which will be that the parents get a much-needed break. So for many, it's like, look, I need a break. This is great. We've got a load of willing volunteers willing to look after the kids so I can sit in church and relax and not have the kids there. Often it's been a very stressful Saturday the day before where they've actually not been at work and had to look after the kids, you know. So they're like, man, I need a break. Okay, so that's one of the supposed pros. Now, what are the cons? What are the cons of the Sunday school system? Because you might be sitting there going, well, that sounds good to me. When is the Sunday school starting, Brother Ian? Let's get it going next week. Yeah, find someone. We'll find someone to teach the kids. Anyone will do. You know, if no one's up for it here, we'll just grab someone off from walking past or something else, you know, get them in there. Because, you know, what could go wrong? Well, what are the cons? Well, some of the pros are actually cons, believe it or not. So keep a finger here and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Is the fun and enjoyment of your child the goal of church? Is that the goal? Because some people, it is the goal of church. Some people, I've had them speak to me and go, so what is the Sunday school program? I want to know if my child's going to enjoy it here, okay? And is that the goal of church, though? If it is, you've got your priorities messed up and you would be better off down at Kids Entertainment Baptist Church. Okay, if that's your goal, then probably you would be better off somewhere else, because, look, that's not our goal here at this church. Now, there is, by the way, nothing to stop you entertaining your kids before church. Nothing to stop you entertaining your kids after church, even in between services, or, believe it or not, on some or all of the other 6 days of the week. Yeah, you can entertain your kids in various ways and do many enjoyable things and exciting things. When you take your child to the doctors, for example, do you look for the most fun-packed doctor's surgery? Is that your goal? Do you look for the doctor that wears a clown outfit? Because at least my kid's going to have some enjoyment. Lisa, no, you're probably going to hope that you're going to find a doctor that knows what he's doing, at least a doctor that maybe is going to do some healing, right? A doctor that at least has an understanding of medicine and other things like that and what could be wrong with your child or something else. Well, it kind of should be like that with a church, shouldn't it? Are we going for, all right, well, we just got to go somewhere to have fun, or are we going to a church where we're trying to find a church that actually preaches the Bible, right? That actually you're going to get some spiritual benefit from it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Maybe one of the reasons that there are saved men and women of God down there at Pat Sharp's Funhouse Baptist Church, and those of you a little bit older might know what I'm talking about here. Okay, I'm not even going to go into Pat Sharp because most people are looking at me blankly. Okay, however, those of you that are wondering why there are people there, let me tell you why. Because they were trained that way. They were trained that way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. They haven't departed from the happy, clappy Sunday school. They were trained up in the happy, clappy Sunday school. They're still drinking the milk of the word, in fact, the watered-down milk of the word that they were getting in Sunday school. They're trying to, that's what they know. That's what they love. So I love Sunday school. I love, you know, kids, I want to find somewhere similar. So they're down, you know, happy clappy church, you know, like this, and everything else is singing, you know, doctrineless songs, because that's how they've been trained up. They've been trained up in the way that they should go, in terms of at least the way that their parents at church wanted them to go. There are saved people, by the way, in NIV churches. Did you know that? Because I know a lot of people don't like, it's impossible. Once you're saved, that's it. No. If you think that, you've got to start questioning yourself. What do you really believe about salvation? Because when it comes to salvation, you're saved because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And there are many saved people that you've got saved that are going back to their NIV churches, exercising their senses with projector screens and other gimmicks. Because that's what they're used to. They're like, yeah, but all that kind of just watching a guy in front of a pulpit. I need to see some flashing stuff. I need to see some screens. I need to see some exciting stuff. Because that's how they've been trained up. They never left Sunday school. They'll sing the catchy doctrinal songs. They're chuffed with those. You know, Jesus is love, or, you know, things like that. Interrupted by a little sermonette telling them how great they are. Pretty much like Sunday school, isn't it? They never left it. They never departed from the way they were trained up. That's how they were trained. That's what they're used to. That's what they want. That's what they desire. Now, you might say, well, so what, Brother Ian? So what? At least they're in church. Well, at least they're in church. And using the word church loosely, obviously. But what are they actually achieving in those churches? Yeah, we enjoy church, okay? I hope everyone here enjoys church. I enjoy being in church. Yeah? I enjoy going to church. But church is also there to build us up. It's there to clean us up. It's to send us out. Okay? Isn't that part of the point of church? Is that you should come to church and after. And it might take a while for some people. It might take less time for others. Ultimately, eventually, you should be going out and preaching the gospel. Because that's what church is meant to be doing. It's meant to be sending you out, right? How should they preach except they be sent? Yeah? Funhouse Baptist Church isn't doing that, is it? Where are all the Baptists out on a Sunday in this city? Anyone bumped into any Baptists out preaching the gospel? But aren't the kids at least getting more suitable content in Sunday school? So at least there's that, isn't there? You know, well, okay, I get it. You know, you could say, look, that's a hard thing to measure, to gauge. Is it because of Sunday school? Is it other reasons that these people are there doing nothing, patting each other on the back on a Sunday and going home to live their normal lives again? Well, what are the kids getting? Well, it depends on what you want your kids to learn. In most, it's colouring pictures of cross-dressing so-called characters of the Bible. Okay, that's most Sunday schools out there. Cross-dressing characters, and sadly, a lot of them will be apparently the Lord Jesus Christ, but many others in a skirt, in a dress, and let's colour it in. Great fun. In most, it's watered-down doctrine consisting of love all and judge no one, isn't it? Apparently. And I say apparently, and by the way, some it is the gospel every week as well. There are those. And again, hopefully you would hope and pray that it's the correct gospel. But I say all of that because you might go, well, that's not all that goes on in there. And you're probably right, because I don't know what goes on in there. I don't. Look, I'm going to hold my hand up. I've sent my kids to Sunday school before at previous churches. I don't know what they're being taught. I didn't know what they were being taught. I still don't know. All I know is what they've remembered and decided to relay to me. Okay? And at least I was one that was interested and afterwards wanted to know what they were being taught. But ultimately, what do I really know is being taught to my children when I'm throwing them into some Sunday school? I don't know. I've sent my kids, so I still don't know. To this day, exactly what was being taught to my children. Is that biblical? Turn to Acts 17 to see how a certain group were praised for their response to Bible teaching. Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, Paul's just had the sodomite protesters on his back in Thessalonica. Okay, so he's just been dealing with the lewd fellows of the baser sort. And it says in verse 10 of Acts 17, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that's a tongue twister, and that they received the word with all, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. How can we be like the Bereans? And many people talk about being like the Bereans, don't they? If we don't know what's being taught to our kids, how can you search the scriptures daily if you don't even know what they're being taught? And whose responsibility are your kids? They're yours. They're your responsibility. And who is it that's teaching your children? Who's teaching that heritage of the Lord, God's children? What does that teacher believe? Do people really know what they believe? What don't they believe? Are they even qualified to teach in that church, by the way? Turn to 1 Timothy 2. Most Sunday schools I've ever seen have ladies teaching, don't they? Most Sunday schools I've ever witnessed, I've ever dropped my kids to, will have ladies teaching. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 11. 1 Timothy 2:11 says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. You say, well, she's not teaching men, she's teaching kids. Yeah, she's not learning in silence either, is she? Is she learning in silence? No, she's not even learning. She's teaching your children. And what teaching is she missing that week and the other weeks? Because she's not just doing it once a year. It's not just one service. A lot of the time it's every week, or at least it's every other week, or they're on some sort of rota with a few other ladies that you don't even know what they believe and what they don't believe and what their doctrine is and what it isn't. And they ain't learning while they're teaching your children. They're definitely not learning in silence with all subjection while they're teaching your kids their own views, their own opinions, their own things. And by the way, they do that as well, because that's natural, isn't it? So when your kids come out with the questions, which they do, they come out with the answers. Like, for example, I had my kids in one place where they were rebuked for saying, and they weren't colouring in at the time and trying to create a problem. They're just saying, yeah, I don't think that the men of the Bible wore dresses. And they got rebuked and told, yes, they did, basically. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Is the women learning in silence or subjection offending you? Is it? Is the Bible offending you? Because that's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Did I just read the Bible there? Is God offending you? Does God offend you? Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. In case you're hoping that the Greek says something different. Oh, well, that was the problem was, his brother Ian didn't go back to the Greek there. It was a translation issue. Maybe there were some misogynists in Timothy's church and they were just trying to appease the misogynists. When you go back to the culture of those days, the problem was, well, what does the Bible actually say? Well, 1 Corinthians 14 says something very similar in verse 34. Let your women, 1 Corinthians 14, 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Those poor husbands of these women teaching Sunday school must be having to preach whole sermons when they get home. The wife is having to have the whole thing relayed to her because she's not there because she's too busy teaching people's kids and not keeping silence in the church. Now, that's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Now, you might go, well, yeah, none of that really matters because at least those little brats don't distract us important adults. Because a lot of the time, that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? What it really comes down to is that in their mind, it's like, yeah, whatever. I don't care what the Bible says. Just get them out because they might distract us. They're going to limit my spiritual growth in Funhouse Baptist Church. Yeah? They're going to limit me being able to listen to every single word. Well, go back to where we started in Mark 10. Because is that how God sees it with children? Does he see them as just this distraction to get rid of them, to get them out of the way, to just send them off to anyone you can just so they don't ruin that church service? Of course he doesn't. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. Jesus is on his way towards that final triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And he says in verse 13 of Mark 10, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So, by the way, the disciples have had 3 years with him by now, but they're still set in their ways. And there are many out there like that. Because you might be sitting there going, yeah, but I know some real strong men of God, churches who've had generations coming in and out, and they've set with the Sunday school method. They can't all be wrong. You know, what is this family integrated? This is a bit newfangled, isn't it? What about good old-fashioned Sunday school? Because they can't all be wrong. Well, the disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, over 3 years at this point, and they're wrong, aren't they? They're rebuking them. They're rebuking them, rebuking those that brought them. Verse 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, he was a little irritated or much displeased? Much displeased. Yeah, Jesus Christ is annoyed. He's angry here. He's much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Let me tell you where Jesus is most present this morning, where his word is being preached, where his word, his preserved word is being read, where he's being properly, reverently praised in doctrinally sound hymns. That's where he's present. He said in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And it's his name when it's a biblical church. With biblical leadership, the word of God, things done decently and in order. That's not, oh, well, a couple of people who don't even want to go to church. Oh, no, don't. Well, we've got together and we're just going to like take it in turns to teach out of the Bible. Yeah, you're not gathered in his name. Yeah, you're going against what he told you to do. He told you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He ordained biblical leadership in biblical churches. Okay, when you're gathered in his name, it doesn't matter if it's a small church. If it's a biblical church, you gather together in his name, there is he in the midst. And here in verse 14, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And by the way, just a side thought on this. If you find this a bit hard to get used to, and you're like, yeah, well, all these kids are winding me up a little bit or anything else, yeah. If people, and I hope we haven't got any like staunch kind of closet Calvinists here that think that little babies and children that die are just go straight down to hell. Okay? I hope we don't have anything like that there. Because at that point, they have no knowledge of good and evil. Where do children go when they die? Straight to heaven. Okay, young children with no ability to understand different will go straight to heaven. So based on how many people get saved, what do you think heaven's full of? Kids. Full of children. Full of them. If you can't deal with a family integrated service now, I'd like to see how you're going to deal with it in heaven. They're going to outnumber us a lot. We're going to have to mind our P's and Q's around it because they're going to be mob-handed. Seriously, he said, for of such is the kingdom of God. Okay, he was much displeased, okay? And I believe he's much displeased with the genuine churches out there following this unbiblical nonsense. I believe he is. He is much displeased about that. He might be pleased with other things some of those old good quality churches did and do, but I think he's much displeased with this part of it. When you got saved, you became a spiritual baby. Did you know that? Should we have shoved you out in the creche in case it was a bit too complicated for you? Is that what we should do? When we get a new believer in here, go, right, get out. We got a creche up there. You got to sit up there. We don't want you having to, you know, listen to the Bible being preached. We don't want you to have to listen to doctrine. You're a baby. You're a spiritual. Is that what we do? We don't do that, do we? We don't. Do we eventually progress them into, like, the new believer room for them to sing catchy songs? Oh, yeah, okay, well, oh, okay. How long have you been saved? How long you been going to church? Right, yeah, we got a room up there for you. You can just like sing some catchy songs, clap your hands, and you know, play Jesus themed games. That's about all you're worthy of, because you haven't been saved long enough. But you were a child too, weren't you? Everyone here was a child. If you got saved, verse 15 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And do you know how you grew? You grew by listening to the word of God preached. Yeah? You grew by listening to the word of God preached. That's how you stop being a child. That's how you stop being a spiritual baby, by listening to the word of God preached. By training up in big boy church. That's what you did. We got you straight into big boy church if you were here early, and if you weren't here and you were somewhere else, you at least were trying to get into big boy church. Or maybe you're listening to big boy church online. But you weren't listening to the creche from big boy church, were you? You weren't listening to the Sunday school. And let me tell you something, the regular kids in here are more spiritually mature than any product of Sunday school. Those that have been coming here regularly now are more spiritual. Look, it's amazing something. When you talk to your kids, I'm sure many of the parents here will know the same. When you talk to your kids and think about the answers they'll give you and the discussions and the biblical discussions you can have with your children compared to probably most adults out there who go to Funhouse Baptist Church, you'll notice quite a big difference, let alone the kids in those churches. Because they're listening to preaching. They're listening to the word of God. Because they're listening to it in its unadulterated form. They're not out the back clapping their hands and singing songs and painting funny colouring pictures. And by the way, do you know what? They also learn to sit in an hour of preaching. Unlike most Christians out there. Most Christians out there come to a church like us and they'll be like this, looking at like, what on earth, you know? It's not 20 minutes. It's not 25. It's going up. They're twitching, but long before the hour mark. And you've got kids here just sitting for an hour preaching. Not only week in, week out, sometimes three times a week. It says in verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. These kids that are brought to Jesus are blessed. No, they don't leave church with bags of activities, sweets, chocolates, etc. You know, you're like, oh man, it's Sunday school again. They're coming out, you know, just like laden with unhealthy things and things that are going to make them go a bit wild. But they do leave church with spiritual candy, don't they? Yeah, your kids leave church with spiritual candy. And you can't put a price on that, can you? You can't put a price on the spiritual benefits, the spiritual lessons they'll learn for being in a proper church. And here's something else. Those kids do quickly learn how to sit in church and not be a distraction, by the way. Unlike when they need colours, sounds and play every minute. Okay, the kids here, I mean, I'm looking around and there's this kid sitting here. Yeah, they might not listen to every word. Maybe they're thinking about other things at times. But you know what? They're learning how to sit still, aren't they? Sit quietly. Some people are amazed. Some people who've never been to a church like this come in, they're just like, what on earth? It's just all these kids sitting quietly. They must be getting beaten up. They must be getting threatened. No, they're just learning to sit in a church, which is the goal, isn't it? Train up a child in a way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, but what about those poor parents? What about that one? They need a break, don't they? I mean, these poor parents, you know. Well, when you feel like that, you're like, I just need a break. You may as well just drive down the road and drop them off somewhere, right? Why does it need to be church? Maybe drop them off at the local nursery. Why not the local mosque or synagogue? Because it's probably as biblical to just drop your children off with someone else so you can go and sit in church and the kids don't. Because that's basically what's going on. They're not sitting in church. They're sitting in a room somewhere doing other things. Oh, well, it's all right because they're painting in pictures of something that doesn't look anything like probably that person ever looked like. Well, they might as well colour in pictures of Muhammad or their own weird versions of biblical characters. Because the biblical principles clearly don't seem to matter to you if that's what you want. And by the way, since when did God tell you to drop his precious children off with random strangers? Did I miss that command in the Bible? Oh, by the way, when things get a bit much, just drop your kids off with someone random. Oh, it's okay, they're Christians. They're nice ladies. Oh, they're lovely. They even wear dresses. Nice men that are just happy to volunteer in the kids' ministry. Because, by the way, it's not just ladies. Oh, those lovely men that they don't go to church so they can teach kids in the kids' ministry. You know those sorts of men, right? You know those nice women and men that just love children. Oh, what could go wrong, eh? Put them in a private room with them. What could go wrong? They're religious folk. What's the worst that's going to happen? People honestly, seriously still think like that. Well, they're religious. I mean, they claim to be Christians. I mean, I don't even know whether they teach repent of your sins and the rest of it at this church, but it doesn't matter because, great, off you go. Hour and a half to myself. 2 hours if I'm lucky. They might even have an activity afterwards. That's the reality. However, turn to Matthew chapter 18. I just looked at a little an article online. The Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, sorry, this is a bit uncomfortable, said that there was no doubt that the sexual abuse of children takes place in a broad range of religious settings. It found evidence of egregious failings and highlighted the hypocrisy of religions that purport to teach right from wrong, yet fail to protect children. If you're a predator, what sort of ministry do you think you might edge towards? And by the way, whether it's a false religion or a religion like ours, predators will come in. That's just the truth. In fact, wherever you are, predators will come in. Some of them are just open, blatant predators. You go to the local primary school, you just get open sodomites, just teaching nursery kids and everything else. It's unbelievable. Yet, in religion, they sometimes are a little bit clever about it. Some aren't. Some will literally just walk in a dress, like the Catholic priest or something else, and everyone's like, I just couldn't believe it. The signs were never there. The signs were there. He's wearing a dress. But often, in a church, look, sadly, in churches like ours, other Bible-believing churches, there will be those sorts of people that come into a church. What do you think they're going to go towards? Oh, but there are plenty of other kids around. There's a teenage assistant. There's two adults. It's all right. Because they'll try, oh, don't worry, we've put in protection now. Let me explain to you how these people often work, okay? It's not that they're going to attack your kid in front of 10 kids inside the Sunday school. They do what's known as grooming. Everyone's heard of the word grooming, yeah? Okay, over time, they're trying to get your child to become more relaxed around them. over time, they want your child to start to be more relaxed with the private one-on-ones that they wouldn't have had when they first met this person. Over time, they want your child to become more relaxed with the just subtle little touch here, the little stroke on the back there, and it builds and builds. That's grooming. Okay, that's, and where do they go to do that? Kids ministries and other such like things. Look, sorry guys, that's the reality. That's the world that we live in. There are wicked people. And wicked people, sadly, are often attracted towards going for the children. The private chats, the gaining trust, the getting them used to them. And it's not just Sunday school, by the way. Okay? Yeah, we don't have a Sunday school. All right, what could go wrong? These people will do it over years. Yeah? You've got to keep your eye out for that sort of thing. Over-familiarity with children that aren't your kids. That's weird. I don't care. Oh, yeah, but they're just so nice. They always have a big smile on their face. Oh, well, that's all right then. Oh, well, they've got a big smile. That's fine. No, it's not fine. Like, keep an eye out for that stuff, yeah? And if it's your kids, watch for that stuff. What's, like, you don't need to be sitting there cuddling my kid. Close quarters, all touching and everything. And, why would you be doing that? That's not normal. And by the way, yeah, kids are funny, they're sweet, okay? But adults generally should want to hang around with other adults, shouldn't they? Not hang around with the kids all day. Oh, yeah, well, kids are so great, so I'm just going to hang out with the kids. You know, just buddied up with them, playing with them and stuff. That's weird. No, you don't have to, like, better not go near anyone's child. You know, oh, he got within 5 metres, okay? No, but you know when it's, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah? And we've all seen this sort of stuff. In Matthew 18 and verse 5 says this, Jesus Christ said, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and it were drowned in the depth of the sea. And do you know what? By the way, our pastor pointed this out preaching recently and I hadn't thought about it like this. Do you know what that isn't? It's not just drowning. Do you know what that is? That's head explosion. A millstone put around your neck and drowned in the depth of the sea. Long before you're drowning, your head's expanding with the pressure and it's popping. Not a nice way to go, right? That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ that they're colouring in and making out to be like a dress-wearing weirdo. No, that's the real Jesus Christ. He said people offending and upsetting and hurting and harming kids, it's better for them that they would drown in the depths of the sea. He said, woe unto the world because of offences, for it must needs be that offences come, but woe to that man by whom the offence cometh. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? The primary person here is obviously the abuser. But you're at least part to blame if you're turning a blind eye, aren't you? It's come by you. I remember giving an analogy about this before when I preached on this sort of thing with the LGBT nonsense and everything else. You know, you go to the lion enclosure, okay, and you go, well, look, there are predators there. Okay, if you put your kid into the lion enclosure, who's to blame? Is it the lions? Yeah, just those lions. No, you're to blame. You put your kid there. Yeah, and look, we've got to take care, right? We know it's around. We know it's about. We know this stuff is a challenge. It's a threat. Yeah, you don't have to go crazy with it. You don't have to be like, you know, just everywhere you go, just questioning anyone that like smiles at your kids and says hello or something. Look, we don't want to be the man by whom the offence cometh, do we? We don't want to be at least some way culpable. And do you know what, yeah? I would be culpable as well, so would our pastor. If that happened in this church and it was because I'd put kids at risk, I'd set up a Sunday, say, oh, well, they seem like a nice person, or I was turning a blind eye to this sort of stuff, I am at least partly culpable, aren't I? And I would say anyone else in here, you do the same. It's the same, isn't it? We have to, like, that's part of our job, isn't it? Part of the job of church leadership is protecting the church. And there are, like, this stuff goes on a lot in churches, by the way, because they're just too busy getting the kids out. It's like, get rid of them, get them with someone, get a break, don't get the distractions and everything else. It's like, why? Why? And by the way, it's not just the perverts. What about the false prophets? About the false prophets. They try and get them young with that stuff, don't they? Repent of your sins here, give your life there, just a little subtle one. You know, just, oh, well, I teach the kids ministry, and then it's, oh, well, I didn't mean it like that when I said, oh, yeah, you've got to give your life to Christ to be saved. I don't know, what I meant is, you know, get saved. If anyone pulls you up, it's a little subtle stuff. They want to sow the seed. They sow little seeds, constantly sowing. Often it's obviously work salvation seeds. You know, look, sometimes it's just blatant, sometimes not. Jump forward to verse 14. Verse 14 says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So you may need a break, okay, but church isn't for you to get a break. Church is church. Get a break another time. Yeah, church is a serious place. It's a serious place where you need to have an eye on your kids, not shove them off with something. You don't know what they're teaching them. You know what they're doing. You know what they believe. And you know what? If they're a predator, they're more likely to go into that sort of job, into that sort of role. Sunday school versus family integrated. Number one, Sunday school, option number one we've just looked at is Sunday school during the church services. I don't see many positives about that. Now, number two, and we're going to look at this one quickly because a lot of it's similar, is Sunday school as well as the church services. Now, this is going to be quick, like I said, because some would say that that's the solution to a lot of that then, yeah? They learn in church, they still have fun at the same time. You know, there's the child-aimed content, you know, the kids are a bit happier. You know, I don't have to listen to those e's and thous, we get a nice false Bible version or something else. Yet we still haven't solved some of the big problems. What are they teaching your kids? So unless you're all in there as well, that's a church service, isn't it? Unless you're all in there, what are they teaching them? How can you correct false doctrine unless you're there? Turn to Ephesians 4. Like I said, kids are an easy target for this stuff, okay? Ephesians chapter 4 you're turning to. And if you're going, no, not my child. My child, no, they would never be conned. They would never have their head turned. They would never have doubt put into them. They would never... my child's definitely saved. I heard they called the name of the Lord at 4 years old. You know, 3 years old, they got saved. Firstly, that ain't happening, okay? And secondly, look, we hope they did, right? However, we want to make sure that at those, especially at those ages, but even in the future, anyway, there ain't around any false prophets hearing that sort of stuff. Ephesians 4:14 says, warns us that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. This is sadly what happens to children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look, kids are often carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Look, they're lying in wait for your kids. They're lying in wait for child Christians, for baby Christians, for people that they think they can get to, but also lying in wait for kids. And these false teachers are everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere, aren't they? Everywhere. And the one we've just covered, if you're going to do the, Sunday school after, and like I said, there are churches like that. I was at church where they had this option as well there, or it's pre the service. Who are you leaving your kids with? Who are they? Who are you leaving your kids with? Now, these are still massive problems, okay, and unnecessary problems, okay? You go, well, yeah, but what about all that fun stuff? What about all the games? How about you homeschool and do the fun stuff with your children at home? How about that? Play the games. Do the songs. Do the colouring in. Just maybe avoid, like, you know, the dress-wearing stuff, yeah? Do nice, fun, enjoyable stuff. Do the trivia. But do it accurately and safely and leave the church for its purpose as the pillar and ground of the truth. How about that? Not the pillar and ground of fun time. Yeah, that's not what the Bible says. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of fun time. Title is Sunday School versus Family Integrated. Option one was Sunday school during the church services. Option two is Sunday school as well as the church services. They kind of go hand in hand, really. And then option number three is the family integrated church services. And that's what we are. We're a family integrated church. We welcome kids of all ages in our services, if you notice when you're looking around here. But we have baby rooms linked up to the service for parents to use if needed, okay, if required. The pros, just some pros, are they get used to real church. They're kept safe with their parents. They hear real preaching. They sing real hymns. You say, okay, I get it for the older kids, but what about those poor youngsters? What about those? Because, okay, the older kids, yeah, you know, it's those poor youngsters, they just want to, like, you know, run around and do stuff. Well, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, it says this, Mark 10, 13, where we started, and they brought, was it older children? No, they brought young children to him that he should teach them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And by the way, in the parallel passage in Luke 18, after turn there, we see them described as infants. Luke 18 and verse 15 says they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, etc. These were young children, okay? Infants could even refer to toddlers and younger, right? You say, well, what is a child of a couple of years old gaining? Some people would think that. Well, what's the point of them being in here, yeah? How about the word of God? How about familiarity with the sweet words of the Lord? How about that? How about getting used to real music? Music with a real wholesome purpose? Music that's not conformed to this wicked world? Because they're going to hear a lot of other music just walking down the street, aren't they? How about the routine of church and church services? Yeah, getting a routine of it. They get used to it from young. And that's without the words, the phrases, the themes that are retained, the seeds that are sown. Because kids, you'd be surprised at what they will listen to and what will go in. And by the way, and we're not going to go there, but just for sake of time, the prophet Samuel started living and working in the house of God young, okay? Very young. In fact, just after he was weaned, turn to Matthew 14 while I read Samuel 1:24. You turn to Matthew 14. Samuel 1:24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine. And by the way, that's fruit juice. And brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. He started working there from young. Serving God. Doing the things of God from young. They didn't go, well, yeah, no. He didn't go, oh, yeah, shove Samuel off somewhere for a while, you know, till he's old enough. No, he started from young. But let's see some biblical evidence for family integrated services, okay? Because, again, you might be going, okay, I get all that. You kind of picked a few verses that show, okay, I kind of get it. However, where's the biblical evidence that kids were in church services or something like that? Well, let's have a look. Here in Matthew 14, where John the Baptist had just been killed by Herod. It says in Matthew 14 and verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. So the people are coming to Jesus. By the way, like everyone did this morning, they came to Jesus, didn't they? They came to church to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the word of God preached to them. Yeah, okay? We're listening to Jesus talk to us with our Bibles, aren't we? And by the way, I'm not trying to call myself Jesus in case anyone wants to say that. Yeah. Okay, verse 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Okay, there's some spiritual healing that goes on in church too, isn't there? Yeah, there's some spiritual healing that goes on here. And verse 15 says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So there are many pictures here, one of which is the disciples feeding the people with the word of God, okay, fulfilled in the first New Testament church. Verse 20 says, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Were they just feeding the men? Just the adults? Were the Marys and, you know, and others maybe running a little arts and crafts session in the nearest cave? And they that had eaten, verse 21, were about 5,000 men beside women and children. No, this was a family integrated feeding, wasn't it? A family integrated feeding, picturing being fed the word of God. Jump forward to chapter 15. For a similar situation in verse 29. Chapter 15 and verse 29 says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So again, spiritual healing going on. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way.
And his disciples say unto him, Whence shall we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have you? And they said, Seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. Another picture of the early church. Kids down the bottom of the mountain here, do you think? Kids kind of left to it somewhere else. Maybe, you know, again, a few women just kind of peeled off from the multitude and... No, and they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Okay, now you might go, okay, but those weren't actual New Testament church services, yeah? Okay, yeah, but they're like pictures of this, that they had a family there, you're not proving anything there. Well, I think I am, but however, jump forward to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, see a letter written to the Colossian church by Paul. So Colossians in chapter 1, to see a letter written to the Colossian church by Paul, Colossians 1 and verse 1, Colossians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's various teachings to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, and commandments, including in verse 18, it says, talk about Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Well, jump forward to chapter 3, where he's clearly addressing this church. He says in chapter 3 and verse 15, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, talking to the church, right? To the which also ye are called in one body, clearly the church, and be ye thankful. Then verse 16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, talking to the church, agreed? The body, the church, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, the Lord. Anyone here think that the kids aren't part of our church? Anyone think that? Yeah. Well, when we do the head count, we just kind of pull out the kids, right? No, the kids are part of our church, aren't they? In fact, they're a massive part of our church because they're a part of our future church here as well, more than most of us old, you know, getting older old men here. Verse 17 says, And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, he's talking to the church still, isn't he? Ye, you, wives, these are the wives in the church. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, talk to the husbands in the church. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey the pastor's wife in all things. No, sorry. Obey the other ladies of the church. No, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's the Apostle Paul addressed the church and singling out the children in the church. Because children are part of the church. And what do you think they did with this letter? Do you think that they read it out and then went, oh, we'll just read that little section to like the back room somewhere? No, he's talking the whole lot. And this is the case in his letter to the Ephesians, by the way, too. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's writing to the saints, the faithful. And guess who's included amongst them? Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6:1, he's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Brackets and those annoying kids that are distracted the church service. No, they're part, they're included. That's who he's addressing. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, he's talking to those children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, because they're part of the church. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're told to bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And one way is by them being in church with you. You're bringing them to church, not bringing them to church and then shove them off somewhere else. Hearing the scriptures. They hear the scriptures in church. And by the way, you don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy 3:15, Timothy was reminded, and that from a child... Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy knew them from a child because he heard them from a child. He wasn't just busy singing happy clappy songs out the back. Proverbs 20:11 says, Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Look,
the kids here, it's not that they're just here as an add-on. We hope they work out when they're adults. No, the kids are here to grow, to improve, to be clean, to be sanctified by the word of God. They're here to be improved as well. And some of the preaching sometimes will do bits which are specifically at the kids, because they're just as much part of the church as anyone else. However, with all of that in mind, there are some potential cons of the family integrated church. There are some cons. So I want to finish the sermon with some rules that our pastor drew up a while back. Okay? There are some rules for the family integrated church that our pastor drew up a while back. And I have read them out to the church, but it was about a year and a half possibly ago now that I last kind of went through all these. Unless I maybe did it in the middle, I'm not sure. And these rules should help to prevent many of the problems that can arise, okay? So these are family integrated rules for our church, as Shore Foundation Baptist Church. And you know, when we're an independent church in the future, we're going to probably stick pretty much to all of these rules anyway, okay? Because I think these are some great rules, okay? By someone that's got experience of being in both. He's been at churches which weren't and churches which are over the years, and obviously has run his own church for many years now. Rule number one, parents should be training children at home to sit through services. The best time is at family devotional time. So, look, church, yeah, look, they're going to need some correction, they're going to need some training, but ultimately the main training should be done at home, okay? And look, if you don't have a family devotional time, you need a family devotional time, okay? For other reasons as well. Ultimately, it's your responsibility to train your children up. It's not just Sunday church and the rest of the time, it's back to the TV and everything else, okay? Have family devotional time. You know the best time for me with that is after dinner. Yeah, you should find a time and make a way of working in your schedule and routine where you all eat together. And now and again, you're going to have times when you can't, when you have to work late and other things. But that should be a routine. Dads, make time for your family. Make sure that you have a time when you sit around and eat together. And at the end of that, for me, is a great time to teach the Bible to your kids. You go, oh, but what do I teach? I know where to start. Like, what? Do you know what I decided a while back? Having tried different formats, the best thing to do is just go through the Bible. So I've been just going through a chapter after dinner and teaching that chapter from Genesis through the Bible with my kids. Since I decided to do that, we're coming up to the end of the book of Deuteronomy now, and the kids are hopefully looking forward to Joshua and Judges and some battles going on now. So every week, or every day in fact, but because it's most days of the week that we sit together, eat a dinner, and at the end I teach a chapter of the Bible to them. And you go, oh, well, I don't know what to teach. Well, learn it then. You know what? Learn what you're going to teach before if you don't know how to teach that chapter. And that way, in what you can, if you did that every day of the week, in 3 years, you would have taught the whole Bible to your family and gone through it chapter by chapter. And you know what you can do after 3 years? Teach it again, and you might be able to teach them some more stuff the next time, yeah? And what a great way of doing it, right? And okay, you might, oh, like, well, we do have church on Sunday. Well, okay, for five days a week, you get through it in about 4 years. Great. That for me is an easy way. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's like, well, if everyone's, you know, maybe someone's ill or there's an issue, someone's not there for whatever reason, we might go off and do something else for a bit. I remember we had a kind of little time out where we went through Psalm 119 and went through each kind of section of 8 verses. And, you know, we had different things we do. Or maybe we're like, oh, we need to look at this topic today. Something we need to do separate. But however, as just the standard, I thought, for me, that's been a good one. You know, someone might have something better. I'm not saying that's a rule you have to stick to. But do family devotional time. And you know what they'll learn to do? They'll learn to listen to the Bible. Because you know what? At the beginning, there was a point with this. And we've been doing stuff like this similar for many years now. But at least for my James, you know, the Bible came out. No! Screaming, shouting, "Mommy, hold my hand!" You know, and all of this. It took a while. And now and again, he pipes up a little bit, but he's starting to learn. Well, if I'm quiet, I listen to the Bible, we get through it, and then we move on after. It's a great way of training the kids, right? The Bible comes out, it's time to be quiet. Yeah. And obviously, you know, there was a few challenges with that, but look, that was, and I think with Charlie we had the same, you know, we've had the same with the kids when they're young with that stuff, but they do get through it and they do get used to it. Rule number two, use the baby rooms for the purpose of training children to sit quietly during the church service. So we do have the baby rooms, we've got the mother baby room, we've got the mother baby room upstairs. They're there for a reason, they're there for a purpose, to be able to use them to train your children if you need to. Now look, some, and I don't have a problem with this, if you decide, look, It's just like being in there and in the seat. They start to get all fidgety and funny. I'm going to prefer to sit at the back. We have an open plan. Back of the church, no worries at all, fine. However, if they're really kicking off and creating noise, there's not like an invisible barrier of noise at the back there, a noise barrier there. So if they are and you're at the back in there and you're like, well, they seem to be a bit happy, a bit more content on the table at the back, cool. But if they're really kicking off, you need to take them away, yeah? Just for that, and it's part of the training, isn't it? And ideally, use a baby room and you can still hear the service. Number three, parents should not train children or calm down their children during church services. Please use the baby room. So obviously, what you don't want to be hearing is like, you little brat, how dare you be noisy? And then you're kind of hearing spank bottoms and stuff going on in the church service, obviously, okay? And again, if they need, like, really, and if they're really kicking off, then, you know, the polite, respectful thing to do is to remove yourself from where it's going to distract people in the church service. In a transitional phase where you're teaching children to sit through service, please minimise distractions. So you can have times where you're like, yeah, we're just about there. And again, just be respectful to others with that. And again, you don't have to go overboard. Like some people go really like, you know, the child breathes and it's like, go quick and leg it, you know. And you don't have to go like that, but please don't do the opposite and just be like, yeah, oh, well, you know, I'm not paying attention because I'm focused on the preacher and everyone else is like, what's going on? I mean, this kid's going wild. Parents should promptly and quickly remove children from service as soon as they make distracting noises. When they're screaming in the service, people aren't listening to the preaching because they're distracted. So he's not talking about, you know, a child whispers something or something else. Kids screaming and things like that, that's the time to get up and remove them. Not, I think they're going to be quiet in 5 minutes, you know, so we're going to train. No, the training's done in the baby room. The training's done at home. Ideally, they'll be able to get through the service and there should be, you know, few kind of in and outs, okay? Parents with babies or young children who are more likely to need calming down should sit near exits so you can take them out quickly. So obviously we had before like some funny people that would just march their whole family up to the front of the church, you know, little ones, and it's just silly, you know. If they need calming down and everything else, just be in a place where you can minimise distractions. If you're coming out of the mother baby room more than two or three times per service, your child may not be ready to sit through the entire service. So what you don't want to see is like just a flapping door of the mother baby room, because it does distract people and people are kind of glancing around and listening, and then they've maybe lost their trail of thought with the sermon or listen, they've missed a point or something else. So you shouldn't be in and out, in and out, in and out. Don't expect a 0 to 2 year old to sit through an entire service. Don't place unrealistic expectations on yourself or your children. It's unrealistic to think they're going to be in subjection in every way, shape or form. Okay, and some people sadly kind of think that it's like a badge of honour or it's some sort of, you know, competitive thing that I'm going to get my kid in there before yours or something like. And I don't think we have that here, but we did have some of that stuff before, okay? And we don't need, look, it's nonsense. Different kids are different. That kid might be really quiet, but he might be a right little thief. You know, that kid might be really noisy, but he's such a lovely, really kind kid. You know, it's just, look, they're going to be different, and different kids are going to respond at different times of this stuff, okay? It's not a badge of honour. Begin to actively train a three-year-old to transition from the baby room in the Sunday evening service. So if you can, you know, that's the sort of age to start trying to train them to be able to sit in the service. Children that are four should be expected to sit through the services unless there's a legitimate medical reason why they can't. Okay, so that's our goal. However, if they can't, they can't. You're not like, right, they're four sitting there and they're like screaming, shouting, throwing things. It's like, he's four, he's staying there. Okay, no, like obviously they still need training, but that's the goal. Okay. Number 11, it is appropriate for children age 1 to 2 to play quietly in the baby room. You should not allow children of any age to scream or yell loudly in these rooms for long periods of time, however, because there's other mums in there, aren't there? Okay, so you don't want to be in the baby room, your kids just throwing things around, kicking off and everything else. If that's the case, we've got the second mother baby room for that as well. And obviously then you need to work on the training a bit more, and I know it can be hard. Number 12, don't allow your child to scream through the entire service. Okay, so look, you're going to have to do some punishment then or something, okay? They need to understand. They can't just be, for example, sitting in a baby room just going, for like an hour, okay? New families to the family integrated model should be given some time to adapt, okay? Suggestion, bring things for children to do quietly during church service, no snacks, things that make a bad mess. So obviously, one of our rules is no eating here, so please don't do the old parent favourite, which is just shove food in their mouth for an hour and a half. Look how good my child is, you know. After there's just this deluge of trodden in biscuit and other stuff, okay? Okay, but, you know, new families are not like, I can't believe your kids aren't used to this. Well, no, but we're trying to train them up, aren't we? Number 14, parents should not be holding long conversations in the mother-baby room. I'm kidding. I'm sure they're not. Okay, but, or sitting on their phones. Okay, that's another one. Oh, no, my Bible's on my phone. Funny, because it's flashing and you seem to be like twiddling your thumb a lot and playing some sort of game. Don't come to church to take a nap. Now, I'm sure that, I've never seen that, but you never know. Set the example to the other parents and children. Show some respect as you should have during the services. Yeah, he clearly had an issue with this at his church, so, you know, and fair enough, we're gonna repeat it anyway. And if you're setting a bad example, the children will follow. If you tell them something but you don't follow it, then they'll feel, why should I do it if you don't? So obviously we're setting examples to our kids as well, aren't we? You know, so if you're just in there, in the mother-baby room, chatting about all sorts during the service, how do you expect your kids not to want to chat throughout the service? And obviously it can be a problem then for other mums don't want to go in the mother-baby room because it's like, if I go in there, I'm not even going to be able to hear the sermon because they just want to tell me all this, that and everything else, right? Number 15, children after sitting through a long service should be allowed to play, however, without being too reckless or rambunctious. A cool word, isn't it? Okay, so look, they should be allowed to play. Okay, we're not, this isn't, you know, you've got to sit still Baptist church either. However, look, we don't want them like trashing the place and, you know, doing cartwheels and handstands and everything else and charging around and everything. And look, and they're going to need some training with that as well. And you're going to have to remind them sometimes. I've said we had an ushers meeting on Thursday. I did say to the ushers, look, you know, you are allowed to say, we're not like, it must be a weirdo, he said something to the kids, yeah? No, the ushers are part of the team for the day here. And especially, not just when we're busy, they might have to say to a kid sometimes, look, could you stop running around or stop doing that? And I said to them, they have full allowance to do that to my kids as well, okay? So I've got no problem if one of the ushers says to my kids, stop running or stop, like, doing, you know, somersaults on the nice steel bars at the back there, you know, at 2 years old or something. Cool, please do, you know, because sometimes you'll miss it and sometimes you talk to someone and you miss something, okay? So, but they are allowed to play. So it's not right, they're playing, quick, get them. Okay, train your children to not run in church. And with young kids, it might take a little while, but they should be trained. And the older kids, you shouldn't be running around in the church. Number 17, dads, help the mums and give them a chance to sit through the services. Now and then, allow your wife to listen to some of the preaching too. Your wives need to hear the preaching too. Okay, so a good thing to do now and again, dads, you know. And I would say that, look, ultimately, if you're the spiritual head and if you're someone who should be going to scripture daily and everything else, as a father, as a leader of a family, I would say it is more important for you to hear the majority of the preaching. And you can obviously teach your family. And you can't do that if you're not at all. However, now and again, to help your kids, and it's not that you're in a back room, you can't hear anything because you're still listening to the service anyway. You've still got a screen there, you can still hear, you can still, you know, be obviously doing what your job should be and being the head of your family there. But not a bad idea that either. Number 18, be part of the service and part of the after service. We should all be singing together. Singing time and preaching time is a time to be in the service, not chatting, having coffee upstairs. Now, we don't have a coffee room upstairs, but we do have coffee at the back. And sometimes that can be a bit of a struggle. Service starts and people are still supping away and everything else, okay? But when the service starts, you should be in the church. And here's another one, number 19, be on time, yeah? And this is something that, look, I know some people have kind of maybe challenges with this and have reasons for it. And sometimes there can be issues with traffic and we have people that travel a bit. But if you don't show up for work late every single time, why should you show up for church late every single time? I know this isn't quite really with the family integrated, but you could say, yeah, if you come in with a big family especially and you walk in with like five kids or whatever it is, you know, and you know, everyone's kind of sitting listening to the service, then you walk in, right, and this one needs to go there and this one, it's going to be even more distracting, isn't it? But for everyone, he says here, it's a distraction to some people. If you're late to church all the time, what is that saying to God? That's a good thing to think about, isn't it? For those of you that maybe have trouble with timing and getting to church on time and stuff like that, you are coming to the house of God, right? And if you don't think you're coming to the house of God, well, you're probably better off to go somewhere else, go to Funhouse Baptist, yeah? But if you come to the house of God, we want to be on time, right? Show respect to God. And number 20, when the service starts, we should be ready to engage in the service. Don't wait until the song service starts to get your coffee. Here it might be tea, but still. Don't wait until the song service starts to use the toilet.
10 minutes early, you should be letting your kids go to the bathroom. And that's a good reminder, isn't it, for us? We're going to need to get our kids ready for the service. Don't then just shove a load of drink down them and wonder why they need a wee in the middle of the service. You know, just simple things like that. That's 20 rules that our pastor gave a while back. I think they're all good rules, aren't they, right? And with all of those, it should help that family integrated model to work better. And if the majority are doing that, when new people come in, it's easier for them to just start to see how everyone else is doing things. If you'd like, you know, if you want me to remind you of those at a later date, I'll happily do that. That was Sunday school versus family integrated. Because for me, look, if we can get that right, the family integrated model is the only model for me. Yeah. But what we don't want it to be is then something which people have problems criticizing or finding fault with, you know, and everything else because of. If we're not following kind of sensible rules like that with it, it can become then more of a problem, can't it? Okay. However, if we're doing it the right way, yeah, we're going to have kids make the odd bit of noise. Yeah, we're going to have kids cause the odd bit of distraction. But you know what? It's worth it for all the many reasons, hopefully, that you heard me explain to you this sermon. And we can minimise the negative effects of that and if we try and do things the right way. So that was Sunday School versus Family Integrated. I hope that that's helped you understand that a bit more. And on that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the kids here, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of children. Thank you for the children we have in this church. And Lord, we pray that you just help us to just raise them in the right way. Help us to be the parents you want us to be here, Lord, and to do things in the right way in this church. To be able to keep them safe, Lord. Keep everyone here in this church safe, Lord. Help us to do that. Help the leadership here to do that. And also help everyone here to just be aware of the potential dangers and things and to just make this a really safe, nice, just not just safe and nice, but an environment that the kids can grow spiritually as well. Lord, help us to just, you know, always just appreciate the importance of the children here. Help us to get out this afternoon and get people saved, Lord, and return for this evening service. In Jesus' name, for all of this, amen.